Chapter 25. The clearing hadn't changed much since he'd last been there. The trees were still lush with green, branches arched overhead to create a ceiling, and the ground below was still covered in broken-up leaves and twigs from last year's fall, whatever hadn't yet decayed. The damp soil was pushing up grass here and there, and the trunks of the trees were growing green moss in patches, a cacophony of breathing flora. The fire pit was mostly obscured now, though there was still the blackened indent in the earth to indicate that it had once been there, and the stones that circled the edge were only partially hidden by the grass. Not too far away was the constant white noise of the river, a welcome cool breeze flowing off of it and cutting through the hot, late August air. Nothing much had changed at all since Jared had left 3 months ago. Nothing but him, and now it seemed so strange and unfamiliar. He recognized each little part, recognized every tree that had once been part of his walls, and recognized the pattern in which the sunlight fell, known from days of staring at nothing else, with no companionship or distraction. But that recognition felt only fleeting. After 2 years of living there, the clearing felt like a childhood memory recalled only in a dream, while Pride Ground seemed so much more real and vibrant. A place where life happened, in comparison to the on-living stasis of the clearing.
"You all right?" Jensen asked.
Jared's eyes fell on nothing in particular. He could hear Lucius and Brigitta, the two betas who'd come with them, making their way around the edge of the former campsite, standing guard as if something was going to come and disturb them at mid-afternoon in the middle of nowhere. Jared moved his hand over his stomach, not swollen, but he could feel the bump beginning to form. Just a slight slope that hadn't been there before. The first signs of his early pregnancy.
"Yeah," he replied and looked at his alpha. "You?"
Jensen nodded, not smiling exactly, but an expression of peace on his face. He'd found the picnic basket that Jared had pulled out of the river all those weeks ago, found it where Jared had left it when he'd abandoned his camp, and Jensen was holding it in one hand and a small trowel in his other.
"You sure?" Jared pressed, reaching out to touch Jensen's wrist.
"I'm sure, sweet one,"
Jensen replied, the corner of his lips edging up in encouragement, his penchant for ridiculous nicknames not fading, no matter how many times Jared told him to stop. The younger Elor had been forced to just accept it. It wasn't too hard. It had been 4 weeks since Jared had run away in panic, fearing his heat and his body. 3 weeks since Jensen had brought him back to Pride Ground, and Jared had accepted that he was Tristan's mother, and no one else ever would be. 2 weeks since he'd moved into the attic of the main house with Jensen, the two of them sleeping with Tristan nuzzled into the space between them. 1 week since Jensen had asked him to come with him, back to this place, the site of Jared's 2-year punishment, his 2-year purgatory, to stand beside Jensen while he dug up the bodies of his children, to bring them back to the Pride, and lay them to rest with the bodies of their people. 4 weeks of change and Jared's first month of pregnancy well underway. His life seemed so different now from what it had been. Looking at the clearing, he couldn't believe it had only been 5 months since he'd pulled that basket out of the river and found his son, tiny and dying, and held him in his hands, nursing life back into him. 5 months since everything had changed. He squeezed Jensen's hand and then let him go, watching the alpha move across the clearing to the largest tree on its edge, where Jared had dug 5 small graves for 5 still bodies, and Jared moved to stand behind his dominant, there to watch and to support. Jensen knelt down slowly, his movements steady, as if walking on eggshells, and he set the basket to the side. With reverent hands, he cleared the ground cover away, revealing the bumps in the earth and the 5 sticks that Jared had used as grave markers.
"There is a land,"
Jensen began, his voice taking on that gentle, educational tone as he looked down at the markers and the grave below them. Called Onselin Lan, it means the land where the sun never sets. He wet his lips, his voice soft and low, and Jared wanted to touch him but didn't. This was a time for Jensen alone. It is the place where the gods dwell and where we go when we come to the end of our days. When we leave our heavy bodies behind on the earth, as free and as light as the wind. It is the sky above the clouds, and the first pride run over them as if they were hard-packed dirt, and the sun is always bright and warm. It is never cold, never dark there, and the spirit of the Aelur who've passed before us are waiting to see us again. Jensen lifted up his trowel and started on the first grave. He gently scooped the soil away, removing the grave marker and slowly uncovering the bones. 5 months in the earth had left little else, skin and muscle long gone, and Jensen was careful, sifting through the soil to find every tiny joint, every little piece of skeleton, placing them in the basket. When we die, we must never be buried or covered. So long as we are, our spirits are tied to our bones, and Sol Haro cannot find us. We must be left out in the elements, exposed to the sun. When Sol Haro's great eye finds us, he will send one of his betas down from the sky and bring us back to the first pride. Jared's gaze softened, watching Jensen speak as he gently dug up his children. Jared had learned more about his people in the last 3 months than he had in his whole life. Humans knew next to nothing about the Aelur, and Jensen had admitted that was mostly the fault of the cats for being so secretive. In school, Jared had been given a passing education, and he remembered he'd listened so much harder after he'd learned what he and his brothers were, going to libraries and trying to sort truth from fiction, but there was only so much they could gather. In 3 months, Jared felt like he'd taken on a lifetime listening to Jensen or Misha or Jeff wax poetic about their people, their myths, their past and their heritage. It was a world that Jared knew was his, knew belonged to him, or that he belonged to, either way. But it was hard trying to see the world as something other than a human, trying to see himself as something other than a human. But he had time and plenty of good teachers. On the third grave, Jensen's hands began to shake and he stopped, taking a deep breath, and just sat there, silent and still for a long minute before continuing. Jared didn't move forward to touch or disrupt him. This was something Jensen had asked for. He needed to do this for himself, for his children, and for Cosette, who was waiting back at Pride Ground for them, to lower the lost cubs into the pale gulch, to lie in the sun with their ancestors, waiting to say a final goodbye. Jensen stayed quiet for a while, his breath uneven, but when he opened the fourth grave, his hands were steadier and his voice was soft, like a lullaby, easing like a trance. They did no wrong, performed no evil. I want to take them home and bring them back into the light, where they always should have been, so that they can join the first pride in the sky, so that I can see them again and apologize to them when Sol Haro and his beta bring me home. You did the best you could, Jared interrupted, even though he knew he should stay quiet. In the throes of first love, it was hard for Jared to keep silent, or to ever leave Jensen in pain. He'd never expected to meet someone like the Alpha. Not out here, and sure, they'd gotten off to a bad start, but Jared was grateful he'd stuck in there. Feeling the tug in his chest, the hot burn whenever Jensen pulled him in, running hands over him, or the lazy warmth of waking up with another body wrapped around him, Jared could be nothing but grateful. I did the only thing I thought I could, Jensen replied uneasily. I was lost, reeling. And I acted without thought, believing that if I could get rid of them, then I would never have to face them. Sol Haro will forgive me, I know that now. But I still need to ask it of them. He picked up the fourth body, ribcage so small and delicate in the palm of Jensen's hand, and he laid his other hand over it tenderly, holding it with such great love. "I still need them to know that I'm sorry and that I will always love them." Jared could only half see Jensen's face, but he knew the expression by heart, regret and love, the power of responsibility and the crush of feeling he'd failed it. The look of a father, and Jensen would be an amazing and devoted one, Jared knew. Jared put his hand over his own stomach, feeling the warmth of his hand permeate his skin, sinking down, he imagined, to the tiny children within him, sinking down to where Jensen had placed them. He didn't know if he'd ever find the words to describe how he felt about his pregnancy. God knew he'd tried enough times, fumbling through awkward sentences to Jensen in the privacy of their room, face turned away so he could pretend he was speaking only to the darkness. And even then the words had been imprecise and imperfect, strange and lumpy in his mouth. He still remembered the first morning he'd noticed the slight change in his body, waking up and stretching before letting a hand lower to scratch his stomach, finding it odd and different than how he was used to. He knew it hadn't changed overnight, that the change had been gradual, but it hadn't felt that way at the time. It had felt sudden and surprising, and he was only a little bit ashamed to admit he'd freaked out for about an hour, sitting on their mess of blankets with his face in his hands. There were children inside of him, little cubs just beginning to grow who, if everything went right, would be like Tristan one day, active, inventive, annoying, wonderful balls of fluff moving in every direction, doing their best to drive him nuts. Jared couldn't describe the way that excited and terrified him, because he already knew he'd love them more than he could articulate, and he already knew he wanted them to be Jensen's. He'd known it almost immediately after Jensen had told him that it was his decision, but even 3 weeks later, he had kept that decision to himself. He didn't want to be cruel, and he hoped that Jensen knew that. It was just that he needed that piece of control. When he was walking back onto Pride Ground after his heat and he was searching out Tristan for forgiveness, Jared had needed that control. When he was moving in with Jensen and settling into his new life with the Pride, he had needed that control. When he was feeling his body shift and alter itself to accommodate children, changes brought on by Jensen's potency, he needed that little voice that said, "It's okay. Your body is yours and belongs to no one else." That feeling of control had been like a security blanket, and he hadn't been quite ready to give it up in the face of all that was changing. Jensen had never pressured him or frowned at him or given Jared any reason to think that Jensen expected anything. Jared kept thinking it would happen, that Jensen's patience would run out, and he'd reveal that his offer had only been skin deep, because he'd expected Jared to immediately give in. When Jared, worried, had talked to Jeff about it, needing advice, the older beta had simply shook his head. "Our people don't think like that," he'd said. "No one can claim your body but you. No one can take it from you. You can give parts of yourself to others, your heart, your children, and that takes incredible trust, but no one can take it from you. Jensen's place as a father is a gift from you to him, and it is meaningless if taken. He would never blame you for choosing to keep your body as your own." That freedom had startled Jared. And as startled as he was, he hadn't realized at first how much he needed it. He'd never imagined himself pregnant, and hadn't even known for certain that he could get pregnant before he'd come to the Blue Ridge Pride, though he'd had his suspicions. Actually being pregnant, however, and knowing that in 5 months new lives would be coming out of his body, was something quite different. And even then he'd realized that wasn't the strangest part. He already saw himself as a parent to Tristan, after all. Being a parent to other children wasn't that big of a stretch.
Imagining himself pregnant, though, his stomach rounded and full, imagining himself actually feeling the movements of whole other living creatures inside of him, had been a head trip. Imagining himself in that role he'd always thought of as purely feminine, and accepting all those traits were inside him, part of him, and not wrong, was something he was still overcoming. He was dealing with it, though, one day at a time. And the fact that Jensen had given him space and time and had never tried to pressure him had made that possible. Looking down at his alpha on his knees, Jared felt warmth and love, standing here in this clearing and knowing he would never have to be alone again. There was someone in this world who was willing to deal with his bullshit. And it was just icing on the cake that Jared was prepared to deal with Jensen in return. The dominant was unearthing the last cub, pulling the dirt away, his fingers so loving, filled with that tenderness of fatherhood, even just touching bones.
"I was ashamed," Jensen's voice came through again after a long period of silence, only just breaking over the steady rush of the river. "I was ashamed of having lost when I'd never lost before. But what I should have been ashamed of was making their deaths about myself. In my shame, I tried to hide them, bury them, so that I wouldn't have to see them or confront what I'd almost had, what I wanted. But..." He pulled the last set of bones out, fingers carefully sifting through the dirt, and his voice filled with a greater strength, a determination. "But I am a better father than that, a better man, and it's time they were brought home."
Jared stepped forward. Even if he'd promised to let Jensen do this, he couldn't just watch the other Aelor alone in this, not when Jensen had kept Jared from being alone. His hand fell to Jensen's shoulder, fingers soft over the dominant's shirt. "You are a good man. I believe in that." Jensen sagged under his touch, going still, and for a moment Jared thought he'd said the wrong thing. Then Jensen looked up over his shoulder at him, and he smiled.
"Even after all we have been through to get here, the both of us, I can't help but be grateful to have found you,"
the Alpha said, something like gratitude in his voice, and Jared flushed. Jensen lay the last body in the basket, looking down at them, a collection of pale bones and dirt, the last remnants of five lives that had never come to be. He paused, sitting there, and then slowly closed the lid, latching it shut. He let out a shaky breath.
"You're doing the right thing." Jared squeezed his shoulder, and Jensen didn't reply, but he lifted his hand, smudged with grave dirt, and covered the one on his shoulder.
Jared believed that Jensen could fight through this. There was nothing he'd ever seen his alpha admit defeat to, and if Jensen lagged, if he grew weak, then that was what Jared was there for. He wasn't afraid of bearing his mate's weight. Jared smiled a little to himself at the thought. The words stayed on his lips as they got up and dusted off, as Jensen went to talk to Lucius and Brigitta and tell them they were leaving soon, as Jensen helped him go through the rest of his things, packing up the two bags they brought with them from Pride Ground. Jared felt the words grow in him, warm and living, like the cubs he was carrying, but he didn't push it. He felt no pressure, no force against him, and he embraced that. Life coming easy for once, and Jared ready to let himself do things in his own time. He'd tell Jensen when they got home, when they were in their room and their bed and Jensen's hands were on his body, he would lean close and whisper in the Alpha's ear that they were mates. When it was night and dark and they were alone, just them and four walls and nothing between them, that was when Jared would let him know. But for now, he just let the words take their shape, let himself hold them possessively close and feel the warmth of that secret in his chest. For now, at least, he had something else to say.
"Jensen."
Jared's hand went out, clasping Jensen's wrist and bringing the Alpha to a halt as they were leaving the clearing. The dominant stopped and half-turned, looking over his shoulder curiously, eye raised in question.
What is it? Did you forget something?
No, maybe. I mean... He swallowed. They're yours. I want them to be yours.
Jensen just looked confused, and Jared couldn't help but laugh. Not meanly, but at just how much Jensen had endeared himself to Jared, as obtuse as he could be sometimes.
Jared stepped closer, and he brought Jensen's hand to his belly over his shirt. He could feel his dominant hand pressed against his skin, separated only by cloth.
These are your children. Jensen's expression changed only slowly, muscles shifting and going slack with gentle realization, and his gaze drifted downwards along Jared's torso to where Jared was holding his hand captive. Jensen's hand smoothed out and firmed, pressing in tighter as if he could commune with his unborn children even now. Jensen's voice was thick, husky, and muted with too much emotion to name.
Thank you, was all he said, just leaving his hand there, the other holding the handle of the basket, connected to his past but touching his future. Not replacements, never replacements, but merely a promise of better things to come. Hope.
Jared felt himself sway with the wind as it blew through the forest, the two of them just standing there, frozen for a minute, before Jensen managed to move his hand, though by the regret in the Alpha's eyes, Jared knew that hand would be spending a lot of time against his belly in the months to come. He didn't mind. He looked forward to it, even.
Are you ready?
Jensen asked, offering his hand, and Jared paused, turning back to look at the clearing, empty now of every sign of habitation. Tent packed up and gone, supplies put away, even the fire pit kicked and disturbed until it just looked like an indentation in the forest floor. It looked as though no one had ever lived there before, just a small opening in the forest and nothing more. It had never been his clearing, just a place where he'd hidden for a while, a shelter.
Let's go home, he replied and reached for Jensen's outstretched hand.
And the forest asked for nothing in return for what it had given. The End.